Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God, use your word to touch us and draw us near to you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. That passage out of Isaiah is, you know, the encouragement, and this is an encouragement throughout a number of places of Scripture, is wait on God. When things get a little tough, when things get difficult, yeah, we struggle, but wait on God, wait on the Lord, trust Him, and He'll work it out for good. You know, to those who love Him, He promises to work it out for good. He doesn't always promise to work it out according to our plan or the way we want Him to do it, but the waiting, I think, is the hard part. And I think one thing that helps in the waiting is just the question that I think I've felt like God has asked me a couple of times in the middle of a difficult situation. Do you trust me? And the right answer is yes, Lord, I trust you. Well, if I trust you, then whatever it is that I'm going through, whatever difficulty I'm experiencing, it's going to work out all right. Amen? So I want to share a couple stories from a couple people in the Bible. The Bible is filled with people who waited. Actually, let me just give you a little aside. I did some looking last night online. Different people like Abraham. You know, when God promised Abraham that he would be a father to nations, that, you know, that he would have a son. Between the time that that promise was given and that it was fulfilled in Isaac, 25 years. Can you imagine Abraham every once in a while saying, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? You promised." But he continued to trust God. Noah, I'm not really sure how long Noah spent working on that boat. A couple times I've read through the scriptures, but it, you know, he was out there preaching righteousness and building his boat, and I'm sure enduring the ridicule of the people around him, like, "What is that nutty guy doing? Rain." And maybe Noah, every once in a while, I can't say this, Noah was a righteous man, but maybe sometimes Noah was thinking to himself, "How long, Lord?" You know. Job, I'm going to share a little bit about Job here this morning. I'm sure it may have been a prayer of his at some point. "How long, O Lord?" And I want you to, you know, as I read some of these stories this morning and share about them, I want you to think about some of the situations that maybe you're in the middle of or you have been facing maybe for a while. And if there's the question that arises, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, am I going to have to endure this?" Or just, I can say, trust God. But let me share some of the stories. Maybe the stories of some of these saints would encourage us. In Luke chapter 1, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. I wonder how many times this righteous couple prayed and said, maybe I'm reading more. Let me just give you a little bit of my own take on that passage. When I read it, I think, you know, here is Zacharias and Elizabeth. As a young couple, they've been engaged, betrothed, and married, and they're starting out in life. And the natural and normal thing for them in those days was to begin a family, to begin to have children. And, you know, after some time, they're not having any children. Elizabeth is not getting pregnant. And I don't want to read more into the story than's there, but I can imagine what they must have gone through, some of the things in their minds of God, you know, and praying for a son or a daughter or children, and yet nothing. And the other thing about that story is that they were both righteous before God. This is what the scriptures say. They were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. It wasn't like this was some kind of punishment from God for things that they had done wrong. And a lot of times we don't know why we're going through certain things. We just go, God, I don't get it. Maybe it is something that I've done wrong. God, show me, you know. But if not, all right, God, I'll trust you. And now Elizabeth and Zacharias are old people. They are, and Zacharias has a visitation from an angel. Says, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. And, you know, in their old age, they had a son, and not just any ordinary son, a son who was the forerunner of the Messiah, the one who the scriptures say he would go before him to make a way. He would go before Jesus to preach righteousness. And now, this is a lot of years. They're married. They have no children. They're middle-aged. They're elderly. And still serving and honoring God. But God honors them. I shouldn't say God honors them, but God blesses them with more than just any ordinary son. Blesses them with a child who is a fulfillment of the scriptures. One who preaches righteousness. And I can sometimes picture, you know, Zacharias and Elizabeth sitting back. I don't know if they had rocking chairs on their front porch, but sitting back thinking about all of the years and going, wow, God has been so good to us. And there's our son out there preaching, and Israel is turning back to God. Maybe not completely, but many are coming down to the Jordan River to be baptized by him as a sign of their repentance, and they're turning back to God. Can you imagine what Zacharias and Elizabeth must have been thinking at that time? The joy that was in their hearts to know that, you know, all of these years of waiting, all of these years of disappointment, and the fulfillment came in a greater way than they could have ever imagined. I don't think that they had any idea. I think at some point they just said, well, that's just our lot in life. We won't have any children. That's all right. We still are going to honor God. And God blessed them. By the way, that phrase, how long, O Lord? I was looking it up this morning in my Bible. I said, I'm curious. You know, in the New King James Bible, just in the Psalms, that phrase is used about 18 times. You know, the psalmists are, how long, O Lord? You know, here we are going through difficulty. I think it's a kind of a natural thing that happens when we have trouble. How long, O Lord? When's this going to be fixed? When is this going to be taken care of? And all right, I'm going to move on to a fella named Job. Job, we know a little bit about the story of Job. Most of us do. There was a man in the land of Uz. Uz? In that land, yes. Whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And it goes on to say that Job was just blessed by God. And Job was a righteous man. And in fact, Job was a guy that God was bragging about to the enemy, saying, hey, is there anybody like my servant Job? And yet, look what happens a little later on in the first chapter, starting in verse 20. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Just prior to those verses, Job loses his family, loses his possessions, loses his health. And Job's attitude is still right. He's still saying, I still trust God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Then the book of Job goes on for many chapters of even friends, close friends of Job's, who stood by him and sat with him and prayed with him. But even after a while, they got weary and tired, and they thought, there must be something Job has done. Surely he's got some kind of secret sin, something that he is just not confessing and not showing us, and that's why all of this has happened. They came up with the reasons. And yet, one of the reasons I think God was just testing Job. But I think one of the other reasons, and this is kind of outside of the book of Job, when I read the book of Job and I see what he went through and the difficulties that he experienced, and I see how it all turned out, how it worked out all right for him, and how he, in the end, you know, said, God, what have I got to say? I can't say anything. Woe is me. Job was eventually restored. But I say to that, Job, all that you went through, I can say, hey, Job, if you can hear us, thank you for all that you went through, because you gave us an example of what it means to hang in there to the end and actually to see the victory. Not all the saints in the Bible saw the victory in this life. Amen. They saw answers to their prayers later on, maybe from the vantage point of heaven. But in chapter 42, verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And again, I don't think that verse is in there for us to say, oh yeah, cool, how can I get twice as much as I had before? Well, I just got to lose everything and then God will bless me with twice as much. That's not the point. The point is God blessed Job and God showed his faithfulness to Job. Even though Job a lot of times was, you know, accusing God, God, why are you picking on me? I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, God, why are you letting this happen? I didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing. I'm completely holy and righteous inside. Well, you know, that was another one of those things that God was bringing to the surface in Job. Job, I'm God and you're not. But Job endured. He waited on God, and God eventually came through. All right, I'm going to read a little bit about a guy named Joseph. Joseph was one of Jacob's sons. But Joseph in the Bible, some of us know the story fairly well. Joseph was a young man who honored his father and honored God, and yet he was hated. Genesis 37, verses 3 and then verse 5. Now Israel, that is Jacob, that's the name that's being used there for Jacob. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a tunic of many colors. And then going to verse 5, now Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. Joseph was a favorite of his father. And I'm sure that happens in a lot of families. There are favorites. I don't know that parents do it on purpose, but Jacob loved Joseph, it says, more than all his children. And I'd say, you know, Jacob, he just did, and he blessed him. He made him a special coat, and you know, he showed his affection to his son Joseph, and it surely was visible to the brothers, to the other brothers. By the way, Joseph was one of two sons. Benjamin was the other to Rachel, Jacob's wife, and the other wife, Leah. Those were the other sons. And so maybe there was some rivalry in the family there going on too. But in any case, they hated Joseph. They hated him because his father loved him. That is not so unusual, to be hated because you're loved. We are loved. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves us. And you know, there are people in our world, there are certainly demons of hell that hate us for it. And now Joseph dreamed a dream. God is speaking to Joseph at a young age. He dreamed a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. And so they plotted to kill him. One of the brothers intervened and said, let's not kill him, let's just sell him into slavery. And so they did that, and he ends up in Egypt. In chapter 39, verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Joseph is betrayed by his brothers. He is sold into slavery, and yet he's sold into a fairly prominent man in the land of Egypt, into his house as a slave. And even in that, hang on a second, let me make sure I'm not skipping something. All right, I'll tell a little bit more of that story. Joseph is there in Potiphar's house, faithfully serving his God and serving his master. And his master's wife has different plans. She wants to have sex with him. Okay, that's she wants to lay with him, and Joseph will have none of it. And she is she prevails, at least prevails in asking, and yet Joseph eventually runs out of the house when he is approached by her again. And when her husband comes home that day, she tells him of this Joseph, this slave that you brought into the house who tried to rape me. You know, a false accusation. And Joseph is just faithfully serving. And in fact, one of the things that he said to her is, how can I dishonor my God by doing this wicked thing, this evil thing? And so he's in jail now. Now he's in jail, accused and guilty, at least in their courts. And so here he is in jail, and God continues to give him favor in the prison, even with the guard keeper or the prison keeper. But there was a time when there was a couple of Pharaoh's main guys, the cupbearer and the baker, who were thrown into prison for having done something wrong, or at least the accusation was there. And Joseph interprets their dreams. And he says, well, let me see, in verse 14, chapter 40, verse 14, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh to get me out of this house. This is, you know, Joseph pleading with those that he interprets their dreams. He says, just make mention of my name before Pharaoh. I want to get out of here, and maybe I'll get some justice if you can put in a good word for me. They completely forgot about him. He was in prison. They interpreted, their dreams were interpreted. One of them was restored to his service with Pharaoh. The other one was hung. And yet, they didn't remember Joseph at all. Here he is in prison. And let me see. Oh, here it is, yeah. Chapter 40, verse 23. And yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. I mean, he's already had years of trouble and problems. And at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh had a dream. God is about to answer in a way bigger than Joseph could have ever imagined. God is about to answer in a way that not only will spare Joseph from the prison, will put him as second in command in the land of Egypt. And not only that, well, Joseph would become a rescuer for his own family. And yet, I'm sure there were a lot of times in the prison when Joseph was saying, How long, O Lord? How is this ever going to work out for good? You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes we're there. Maybe some of you are there right now. How long, O Lord, in a certain situation with a certain thing that's going on, and you're saying, how long, O Lord? Listen, if you'll wait in God, if you'll trust Him, He's going to work it out for good. And just keep doing what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? I think with Abraham, one of the reasons there was such a long delay is because Abraham decided to help God out a little bit with God's plan to bring him a son. And so it just took longer. Be careful about helping God out, because you might delay His plans a little bit if that were possible. Pharaoh had a dream. Yeah, and for those of you who are not familiar with the story of Joseph, I would encourage you to spend some time reading that. Take the notes with you. But in chapter 37 and following, that story, it's a touching, it's a moving story of Joseph being mistreated, the injustice that was done, and yet Joseph acting in a way that was right and pleasing to God. You know, he could have had his brothers jailed, put in prison, and throw away the key. But Joseph said to his brothers, when it was discovered that he was Joseph, the one who's second in charge, you meant this for harm, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. That's really hard sometimes. We see a situation we're in the middle of, and we just go, God, I don't understand how you mean this for good. I don't know how you're going to work. Well, that's because He's God. He can do things like that. Amen. Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Psalm 90, verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, and all the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I want to share a couple of how longs that I've been thinking about. When I see some of the things that are going on in Christianity, in churches, when I see the things that are going on in our nation, when I see the things that are going on all around us, and I said, God, how long? And I'm reminded of the promise. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst, when you say, how long, O Lord? When will it change? When will it be different, God? When will abortion no longer be the law of the land? When will the rights of the unborn be protected? When will the rights of the elderly be protected? When will we begin to call evil, evil, and sin, rather than calling it good? And when will it be that good will be called good and right? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, with the injustice that goes on around us? We see people who are a lot like some of our biblical examples, being taken advantage of, being run down, and today with the advent of social media, it's probably one of the reasons I avoid it. You know, so much can be said to so many so quickly and do so much destruction. I've always felt, you know, this is okay. If you text me, I'm all right with it, but I don't like texts. You know why I like to talk to people face to face and on the phone. Hello, how are you? You know, a text is, it said hello, how are you, but it's hello, how are you? You know, I've had people sometimes say things about a text that they received and they took it the wrong way. It's like, you have no idea how it was sent. Let me not get off on that subject. There's a whole nother. You know, one of the other things that I say, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will there continue to be dishonesty? Dishonesty, and I'm not talking about, you know, blatant, big, fat lies. I'm talking about things that we call white lies and exaggerations, especially among believers. You know, how long, O Lord, will we consider that, the truth is in you. You are the truth. And yet, so often we compromise truth with exaggeration. Let me give you a description of an exaggeration or lying. Not an example, but if I tell you something about a situation that happened to me or something in the church, and I give you a different impression of what actually happened, I might as well have just out and out lied, because that's what that is. Now, sometimes we don't convey our thoughts and our words correctly. You know, maybe we're inaccurate in how we say things. But if I am purposely trying to slant something and make it sound different to you than it really is, that's lying. That's wrong. And I say, how long, O Lord, will we, tolerate that? How long, O Lord, will we listen to the gossips and the lies against others? How long will we partake in those things and say, well, yeah, I heard something, but let me just share it as a prayer request? Sometimes it's not being shared as a prayer request. It's being shared as gossip. How long, O Lord, will Christianity, in many ways, and I think it's probably more so in America than it is in certain other parts of the world. In the other parts of the world, to name the name of Jesus and to proclaim him is a lot of times a death sentence. In America, it's just something to be ridiculed. But when will we have a Christianity that is not lukewarm anymore, a Christianity that is focused on service, focused on sacrifice, focused on the fear of God? How long, O Lord? You know, we've been praying, and I've been praying personally for quite a while. How long, O Lord, before you will send another great awakening? Maybe not in our generation, maybe not in our time. Our nation has experienced awakenings of different types over the years. And yet, I want to say, how long, O Lord, when the lost will be convicted of sin, when they'll fall before God and say, God, forgive me? How long, O Lord, will even those who claim to know Christ and to walk with him say, God, I've not walked the way that I ought to. I've not been the person that I ought to be. How long, O Lord, will I be the way that I am? Can you relate to that? How long, O Lord, will I just kind of shrug things off as unimportant when they're so important to you? How long, O Lord? Maybe that's part of the answer to the how long, O Lord. When we come to the place where we no longer will tolerate it, I heard someone recently again saying, you know, you'll never overcome something in the way of a problem, an addiction, or other kind of an issue in your life, something that is wrong, until you begin to hate that thing, until you begin to despise that thing, until you start to say, how long, O Lord, I want to be done with this. I don't want this anymore. And whether that is immorality or injustice or dishonesty, pornography, you name it, it's all sorts of things that are tolerated, and sometimes under the guise of, well, Jesus loves me, he forgives me, it's all okay. What if it's not? What if the scriptures are true when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me? What if he really meant that? What if he was serious about that? My goodness, where has the fear of God gone? You know, God says that, in Hebrews, he says that he'll discipline those that are his own. If you're living in sin and walking in sin and tolerating it all and there is no consequences for it at all, I'm not even sure if you're one of his. Now, I can't make that judgment call, but we should seriously ask the question, God, is this real Christianity or am I just living a lie? Is my house built on a rock or is it on a foundation of sand? Well, I want to kind of conclude at this spot. I know I've shared some stories about some people in the Bible, but I really wanted to end with a focus on us, me. You should be looking at yourself right now rather than looking at everybody else and all those lukewarm Christians that we happen to know. We should say, how long, O Lord, for them too, but how long, O Lord, will I be silent? How long, O Lord, will I tolerate those things? How long will I say, well, it's all right. I'll try harder. So, it's a little hard to end this, but I want to just say, don't quit. If you're struggling with something in your life that you know is not right, it doesn't please or honor God in any way, it may be a secret thing, nobody knows about it, nobody else but you and God. Listen, you want to fight that fight and kill that thing. And if it's your flesh that's rising up that says, I want, tell your flesh you can't have it. I remember if it's Psalm 18, I'm not going to try to turn there right now, where the psalmist there is talking about, you know, he crushed that thing and he ground it fine as dust and through it. He was talking about sin. He was talking about wrongdoing and wrongdoers. There was a determination in there to do everything that it took to deal with that and to take care of it and to fix it and make it right in God's eyes. And then, once we've done all to stand there for. I was going to preach this morning on the whole armor of God, but this is the message that I really felt was more in line this morning. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We want to be Christians who are overcomers. We want to be Christians who are, well, I don't know that we want to be Christians who are hated. If you're going to live for God, there is going to be some of that. But we can also do some things to affect others. Amen. And I think part of it starts with a prayer, the prayer of the heart that says, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will it continue to be the way it is? Lord, bring a change. Bring a change. Bring revival, Lord, in my heart. Bring revival in my city, in my church, in my country. How long, O Lord? I think I read something last week in the message about the souls that were slain under the altar in the book of Revelation who were crying out to God for justice and saying, how long, O Lord? And he said, just a little longer. Just a little longer. Amen. I think it is just a little bit longer. Amen. Let's stand up this morning and let's just ask God, As he has stirred us this morning, I believe that he has, that we would say, how long, O God? How long will I be the way that I am? Change me, make me new, make me whole, make me right. Thank you, God. Lord, I just ask your blessing on us here this morning and on all those that are listening to this message. I pray, Father God, that you would touch us, that you would draw us near to you. Lord, we have tolerated so many things under the guise of Christianity or human intelligence and smarts, and yet we've not been led by your Spirit in so much of it. How long, O Lord, will we continue to trust our own wisdom? Come, Holy Spirit, draw us. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to fall completely on you for help and for guidance. And Lord, for those sins that we have tolerated, that we have allowed and somehow shrugged off as not that big a deal, forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would bless us as we go today, that you would stir our hearts, that you would draw us near to you. Help us, Lord, to be your witnesses. Help us, Lord, to be your faithful ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. If you do need prayer for anything in particular, you just come forward right now. God bless you this morning.